Lord Jesus, eternity is real, and we pray that our young people would know the truth and walk in the truth. Help those who are helping them in that, we pray. Lord, we want to pray that we would do that as we hear your word. And as Tim opens it up for us, help us, Lord, as your children, to walk in the truth and help him and anoint him afresh as he shares it with us. Lord, help us in our giving, that it would be a means by which others come to know the truth and walk in the truth, and that we, as we give our gifts, would do it with a wonderful confidence in eternal things. And Lord, we pray as you taught us, and we keep praying, teach us how to pray as we pray this prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we also forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Please take your seats, everyone. Let me just take a moment just to ask the Lord to speak to you. As maybe the Lord has already been saying something to you this morning. Or maybe you're not even sure God is real, and you're like, what does this all mean? Just prayer is just speaking to God. Just bring your own quiet prayer to God. Say, speak to me, Lord. I want to hear what you have to say. Just take a moment to do that. Lord, we pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. We pray the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, Lord, that we would know the hope to which we've been called, and the glorious inheritance we have in the saints. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So as we come to the end, or towards the end of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us how to pray when we are facing the most difficult and testing of times. I wonder what you would say has been the most difficult or most testing, most challenging time in your life. Just have a think for a moment. Maybe it's even right now. You know, this prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is a prayer that anticipates that in life we will actually face huge challenges, kind of moments of temptation where it feels like we kind of get to the limits of self-control, where we're tempted to choose evil rather than good. Times when it even looks like evil is winning. And so this part of the prayer is how do you negotiate all the trials and challenges and temptations of life, and ultimately, how do we overcome them? You know, if you've ever asked the question, why do so many bad things happen in the world? Or why do people do such wicked things? You know, maybe on this Father's Day, you're worried about your children. Maybe you think, oh, why don't my children listen to me? Have you ever had that thought? Have you ever had that thought? Why don't I listen to me? You ever had that? You know, why don't I do the things I want to do, should do? Why do I struggle? If you've had questions like that, this prayer is for you. You know, in the early church, it quickly became the practice to pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, 3 times a day. I would encourage you to do that at least once a day. Use this as part of your prayer life. Morning, noon, and night. Christians would take time to kind of orientate themselves towards God. To take up again this invitation to know God in the most intimate terms as Father. So they pray, "Our Father." And then they're invited to pray for God's work in the world, for God's power to be released, for his name, his kingdom, his will. You know, that's a great thing to pray for your family, for your children. Then the attention kind of turns to our needs. You know, as we trust God for our daily bread, as we practice that family value of forgiveness and ask for God's help in that, in every situation, every person we meet, we then kind of shift our attention from kind of the past and today to then look ahead to say, well, what is coming down the road? You ever wondered, like, what's coming down the road in my life? You know the song? There may be trouble ahead. Yeah? Well, Jesus says, it's not there may be trouble. He says there will be trouble. There will be trouble ahead, and even dancing won't be enough. Has anyone found that following Jesus is hard? Not just me, most of us. You know, to be a Christian, it is the most amazing, joyful thing, but it's also full of trials and temptations. We've just been singing about that in the last hymn. You know, every day we face things that could actually derail our lives. This prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," reminds us that actually there's a fierce battle going on in the world between good and evil. We see that, don't we, in the news? You know, good, it's good winning, it's evil winning. And we see so much of both. But the reality is that's true not just out there, that's true over our lives as well. There is an enemy who wants to trip us up in life and cause havoc. You know, maybe you're in one of those times at the moment, in your marriage, your workplace, you know, relationship, maybe in a kind of battle with addiction. You know, we all face times where we are tempted to kind of press the self-destruct button. I remember one pastor saying that the scariest thing about the temptation to have an affair is that even though he knows it would cost him his ministry, his family, his marriage, his future, yet he is still tempted. Temptation is a powerful thing. Actually, you know, one of the keys to being a great dad is being a great husband. Invest in your marriage. Because there's this old hymn that says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." Anyone ever feel that? Prone to leave the God I love. You know, there are big pitfalls, but there's also that kind of the hidden ones. When we kind of hold on to anger, when we gossip, greed, lust, there are equally deadly things that cause us and others so much harm. Why is temptation so attractive? How do we overcome it? Well, this prayer kind of highlights two really important things to remember, two things to pray to make sure we don't shipwreck our lives. And the first thing to remember is this. Remember we're weak. Remember we're weak. The reason we need to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," is simply because we are weak. One of the reasons people fall and fail is just because they forget how weak they are, how liable to falling into temptation they are. They say, "Oh, I can never do that. Oh, I'd never fall in that way. Oh, I can just play with that. I can just do that." My youth leader used to say to us, he said, "An unguarded strength is a double weakness. An unguarded strength is a double weakness." Now you might ask, well, why would God ever lead us into temptation? It's quite a strange prayer. Why do we need to pray to God, "Don't lead us"? Why would God ever do that? Well, we need to understand that this word for temptation has a broader meaning than often we understand. Another word we might use instead is testing. Testing, you know, is a theme that echoes all the way through the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New. And a test is not necessarily a bad thing if you pass it. Yeah? You know, so the reason we have driving tests is so that to make sure people drive safely and aren't a danger on the road. I'm quite glad that we have them, yeah? You know, lots of young people have been doing their GCSEs and A-levels at the moment. You know, testing can show where there's deficiencies in learning, but also prove what has been learned. They can be good. So what we're praying for here is for God to not lead us into tests which we might fail and fall into sin. And to be clear, James writes this. He says, look, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So God doesn't tempt, but he does lead his people sometimes into times of testing, moments of decision. We see that way back in the Garden of Eden. There's a test, a tree that's forbidden. Abraham was tested. Would he offer his son? Moses and the people were tested in the wilderness before they could enter the land. And you might be thinking, well, why the test? Well, the Bible actually tells us. So if you read in Deuteronomy 8, it says this, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. So the testing is to reveal what's going on, to reveal to us what's going on in our hearts. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The purpose of testing is to reveal what's in our hearts, to humble us and to teach us what it means to trust God, to trust his word. It's, you know, it's easy in life to mistakenly kind of think that we are the ones who kind of sustain our own lives. You know, I earned that money. I worked hard at that job. That's mine. And we forget that actually everything we have, even our ability to do all of those things, are gifts from God. Every good thing comes from God. And so God leads his people to the desert, where this kind of illusion of their self-sufficiency is shattered, so that they would realize where life actually really comes from. And it's only in the desert that they could really see that. And by the way, God still leads us into desert times in our lives for this same reason. Testing is there to reveal who God is, that actually we can trust him, that he provides everything we need and causes us to grow. So the Apostle James, he writes this. These are challenging words. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Why would you be joyful in trials? Well, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So if you're in a time of testing, a time of trial, don't waste it. Don't waste it. You know, there's two things going on in testing. There's the thing that the enemy is doing. The enemy in testing is trying to trip us up, wreck our lives, cause havoc. But there's something else that God is doing, and it's that he wants to make us mature. So that actually we lack nothing. Who wants to lack nothing? Most of us. We want to lack nothing? Don't waste the test. You might think, well, if that's how we grow, well, why not pray, give me some tests, God? Bring on the tests. Because I don't want to lack anything, so come on, test me. Well, it's because we tend to fail our tests. C.H. Spurgeon wrote of this. This speaks of a humble self-distrust which shrinks from the conflict. We are weak. And notice, this is why this is an us prayer. It's lead us not into temptation. Each one of us are weak. There are no super Christians in this room or anywhere else. We need one another. Being a Christian is a team game. We are a family. We need to support one another, help, teach, rebuke, bless, encourage. We need to be real with one another. That's why accountability is so important in the Christian life. Do you know, one or two people that you can be completely honest with and say, look, could you pray for me in this? I'm struggling. Can you pray? I am weak. Do you wonder, do you have someone like that? You know, to pray, lead us not into temptation, is to acknowledge that though we probably need testing, we are always in danger of failing the test. You know, this is a prayer that puts zero confidence in ourselves. You know, this week I was reading again of yet another kind of mega church pastor having to resign his position because of falling into sin. And when we read stories like that, and we read them often, we're not to kind of shake our heads and go, goodness, what a wicked person. How could he have done that or she have done that? We're to say, think and say, wow, but for the grace of God, that could be my story. That could so easily be me. We're to pray, lead us not into temptation. But though we are weak, you know, God doesn't leave us powerless in the face of those challenges. So we remember we're weak, but also secondly, we remember Jesus is strong. Amen? Jesus is strong. Ultimately, this is a prayer for less confidence in ourselves, but more confidence in Jesus. You know, John the Baptist famously said, he must increase, Jesus must increase, and I must decrease. Jesus is the key to overcoming temptation, because the Bible says, he that's in us is greater than he that is in the world. You know, if you were kind of on your own, just try to have a whole day without falling into temptation, what would you do? Maybe not go to work, so you're not tempted to get angry with your colleagues or your customers. Perhaps not open your phone, you know, in case you look at something unhelpful. Maybe not speak to your family in case you start an argument. Maybe just stay in bed. But then you're tempted to laziness. I mean, how do you deal with this problem of temptation? You know, some safeguards might help. You know, wise rules for internet use, how you do relationships, depending on your weaknesses. But ultimately, rules cannot defeat evil. We need more help than that. We need to pray, deliver us from evil. Don't lead us into it, Lord. Don't lead us into that test. But if I'm there, deliver me. Set me free from it. Help me. How does God deliver us from evil? Well, we'll look at this more next week, but clearly we need someone who knows what it is to be able to overcome the tests and trials of life, yeah? Who can then help us to overcome them. We need Jesus. And the deliverance Jesus wants to bring us is more than just save us where we've failed. That's what we were looking at last week, weren't we? Oh, forgive my sin. Because we all sin and we need forgiveness. And we all hurt one another. We need to forgive one another. But Jesus has a higher ambition for us than just messing up. He wants us to grow. The biblical word is he wants to sanctify us. He wants to change us. In Romans 12, it talks about do not any longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It happens. How does this transformation happen? Well, it happens in view of God's mercy. You know, Jesus, in mercy, he enters our human story of weakness. He faces on our behalf all the tests and trials and temptations that we have failed to pass. And the reason he does that is so that we can learn to start walking in his footsteps of righteousness. So if we follow the testing theme through Matthew's gospel, we see, firstly, this amazing moment in Matthew 3 where Jesus is baptized. And if you know the story, you'll know that the Spirit comes, doesn't it? The Spirit comes onto Jesus and it's this amazing moment. This is my son whom I love. It's like Father's Day moment. Yeah? And then something really strange happens, and we read it here. The Spirit does something. You think, well, what would happen if the Spirit came and filled me? Well, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted by the devil. To be tested. And Jesus faces three tests. The first test comes after 40 days in the wilderness, and it's to turn stones into bread. And goodness me, he must have been hungry. So hungry. And this test is all about this question, is will you just kind of provide for yourself, follow your desires, or will you trust God to provide over and above even your human hungers? Will you trust God's provision? What does Jesus say in response? Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Where's that from? We've already read it. Deuteronomy 8. So Jesus, in his testing, in this time, he's meditating on Israel's experience in the wilderness. That struggle they had. Would they trust God? Is God enough? Can I trust him to provide? And in this test, Jesus is showing us that God really is enough. That God's word really is enough, because it connects us to the source of all life. God can provide everything that we need, even in the desert. We can trust him. And that's what Jesus does. But the tests increase. And Tim Mackey in the Bible Project podcast does some amazing kind of in-depth look into this. I encourage you to listen to that. But he points out that ultimately all these tests come down to this temptation we have as humans to grab power in the way that the world grabs power. You know, we seek to control events and situations rather than trust God. Maybe you're trying to do that at the moment, you know, seeking to control things. God, you just got to get me out of this, rather than surrender to God. And in the third test, Jesus says something really interesting. He says, Matthew 4, verse 10, in kind of deep anger to the enemy who's come to him, he says to him, "Away from me, Satan." And that phrase only appears one other time in the gospel. In Matthew 16, just after Peter has declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus starts to explain. He says, "Well done, you've got it absolutely right. That's who I am." And then he starts to explain, well, what the Messiah, what he is going to have to do. He starts to explain, this is the way I'm going to come to power. And it's totally not what the disciples were expecting. Because he starts to say, well, I've got to suffer. I've got to take this difficult path. I've got to go to a cross. I've got to die. And only then the resurrection is going to happen. And Peter kind of like takes Jesus aside and says, you kind of got this wrong, Jesus. He says, no way. Never, Lord. You can't go in that direction. That's not the way to success. And then Jesus says this same phrase. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Why? Well, Jesus is revealing there are two ways you can rule the world. You can either impose power, seize control, and make slaves. Or you can serve. You can yield control to God and create sons and daughters. And you know, God is not interested in creating slaves. He wants sons and daughters who are free. Amen. That's what he wants for you and for me. And the way he does that is amazing, which brings us to Jesus' final test, which is in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's like an Eden-like place where Jesus faces the horror of what it will cost to make us sons and daughters, the cost of defeating evil, the cost of defeating and paying for sin, the cost of following God's plan and not his own desires. And guess what? He too struggles. He faces all that and he prays, "My Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me." It's like, don't lead me into that test. And then he prays, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Everything hinges on this prayer. Will Jesus kind of follow his human desire? Or will he yield to God and trust God, whatever the cost? And the cost is huge. The cup that's being described there, it speaks of God's judgment on his people by allowing their enemies to take over and destroy them because of their unfaithfulness. Jesus faces all that, prays, "Lead me not into that test," and then rises in total trust to God and goes to the cross and wins the greatest victory you could possibly imagine. He defeats evil, pays for sin, and offers us the position he has as a son, a daughter of God. It's amazing. That's what he offers us. And then he says to his sons and daughters, he says, "I want you to follow in this path." He says to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Do you see that? This is where we see that, you know, giving in to temptation, you know, it has this kind of immediate win, but this eternal loss. You want to save your life, you just try and give in then, you'll lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Ultimately, this is a prayer of surrender to God. It's an invitation to be really honest. To say, "God, I don't feel strong. I don't want this path. But if you lead me into it, I'm going to trust you over and above my desires. Trust that you are able to deliver me from evil. To trust that even though, and this is true in life, all I can see is a cross. As I look ahead, all I can see is the cost. I'm going to trust that beyond the cross there is resurrection." Amen? And there is a resurrection coming. If you're in a moment where all you can see is the cross, all you can see is the cost that is coming, I want to encourage you, the Lord wants to encourage you, that life, resurrection life, is coming. Do you know, it's Father's Day. Today this prayer reminds us that we need to ask our Father in heaven to lead us. To lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. And God is faithful, we read in 1 Corinthians. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. There's no test that the Lord will lead you into that is not ultimately for your good, to make you lack nothing. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Do you need to ask for help from Jesus today? I know I do. Should we pray together? Let's pray. In Ephesians 6, verse 13, it says this, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after everything, to stand." And just as we pray, that the picture that God gave me as I was just praying into this morning was this picture of needing to kind of put on what Christ has won for us. You know, so often we go through life and it's like we're just wandering around without any protection, without any of the armor that God has won for us to protect our hearts, to protect our heads. We cannot do this life on our own strength. Lord, we say we need you, Lord. Lord, we need more of you and less of us. Lord, come and fill us. Lord, lead us not into temptation. But Lord, for any of us who are in the middle of a testing time right now, Lord, would you deliver us, I pray. Would you strengthen us with power? Would you help us to pray for one another in our different testing times? And would we see the goodness of God, that we might lack nothing, I pray. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Amen. Please stand, everyone. And we're just going to just respond by saying that very simple thing is, Lord, I need you. So this song is a prayer. Let's use it to ask for the Lord to help us.